Genesis 3:26 said, "Let us make man in our own image according to our likeness." In John 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. And through Him all things were made, without nothing made that had been made. And He was life, and that life was the light of all peoples. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Beginning the first form of revelation is God coming to His people and creating everything that we see, looking outside of the grand places on earth we've seen, looking around at the people that God puts in your life. Looking at Catherine Elise when you get there. It's that revelation. It's that sense that the sin enters in, it gets in the way of that. Remember, God came to them after they had fallen, after they had sinned, after they had disobeyed, had eaten the fruit, how it came in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from Him. It's important we remember that God did not hide Himself from them. That when we get involved in sin, we hide ourselves from the glory of God. We refuse to see it. And in the first story, it's just sensing God in things and in people. And if we do that, something special begins to happen. I wore one of my favorite ties. It's Snoopy in Monet's garden. And I identify with it. Except in the midst of God's garden, I'm not even a Snoopy. But I want to have this adventurous spirit that explores. I want to have that spirit that seeks from God. And in the first revelation, it's the chance to seek and see God in the things that happen. And sin keeps trying to pull us back. And as it does, we lose sight of the revelation. Now, behind the second door is also mentioned in the Gospel of John when it says, "For the law was given through Moses." Moses wanted to see more, but he had seen God, but he wanted to see more, and he wanted his people to see God. There was so much rebellion that was in the way. But God came to the people in the tabernacle, in the place of worship, in the place where they saw Him, He was there. And it sort of would get sort of a reflected glory. Kind of like looking at God through a mirror. In 2 Corinthians, it says, "Now we look through a glass door," but it was sort of like that. Not the full sense of who God is. God wants us to see His glory and how beautiful He is. And everything is a part of God. I was reading this quote. "And everything that is in existence is somewhat a result of His nature. Therefore, it projects His person. The heavens declare the glory of God. Everything He did speaks of His essence." And it goes on like this. When God is reflected in people's lives, it's like that radiance, it's that shining of God that comes out from the person. And the law points us when we get away from it. It shows us the shadow, the darkness that surrounds us when we lose our way, and it points us in the right direction. But it's incomplete. It's incomplete. And so, behind door number three, John describes it this way: grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Behind door number two, or in between, there's the grace of God that forgives. There's the truth of God Christ and truth came through Jesus Christ, but the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son came through the Father, full of grace and truth. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. What it's saying is that what little grace we receive, it just keeps compounding and empowering. Jesus reveals himself. And he reveals his glory. I love that passage that we saw from Isaiah. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And you all will see it. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and you shall see it. Going back to glory. It's not some sort of effusive thing like you in the clouds. The glory of God is the presence of God that comes into us and makes a difference. Let's try to understand this. I was going back. Remember Einstein and his E equals? And we all know that E equals energy. And M equals C. Say that again. Speed of light. Or, you know, because I'm a doubter again, I figured how would you see the speed of light? So I looked it up in Latin, it's celeritas, which is the word. Velocity, and it's so it's swift. So that the energy, the mass of God that comes swift into us. And I started to think about that. Surely there must be a spiritual equivalent to it. So just to help you, E equals the Emmanuel, which is the same as incarnation. E equals Emmanuel, God with us. Mass equals the substance of God's presence with us times the speed of God's light and how quickly and powerfully it comes to us. But while E equals MC squared, in this new equation, E equals MC cubed. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because the presence and power of God, as it says in John 12, but as many as received him, he gave him the dynamis power to become the children of God. You see, the glory of God is the expression of God's person. It is in every manifestation of God's character. Attributes in the world. The glory is to God what the brightness is to the sun. The glory is to God what light is to water. The glory is what heat is to fire. It is the brightness, it is the product of the presence. It is in the revelation. Some good stuff. Began, I just so felt that all music should reflect God. And he said, all music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there is no real music, but only a devilish hubbub. That's what happens. God comes. And someone said, we don't just see a cradle. You don't just see a baby. You look at the cradle, and you don't just see the child. You see the glory of God. Every time Jesus performs a miracle, every time a lame person is healed, or sight to the blind, or a voice to the deaf, Thank you.